Welcome to Foundation Church's weekly message. We hope you are equipped by this message from Pastor Tom Lapley. For more information about our church, please visit foundationchurchfl.com.
All right, are we ready? Sense a little deadness. I'm never wrong. God has given me a spirit of discernment. He's given me a gift of discernment. So whoever you are, it's time to liven up. Yeah. I'm telling you, I know what I know. It's not going to make me preach any shorter because you have a frown on your face. That makes me think I need to preach longer to get that frown off your face. So believe me, a quiet countenance is not going to shorten this service. It's not going to take anything away from my exuberance. I'm not going to preach any quieter. So for those of you that didn't want to just enter into worship, like, Tom, why do you beat us up? We're the ones here on a Memorial Day weekend. Well, you're the top of the top. You're the best of the best. You ought to be able to endure it. You can endure it. This is the most dangerous church in America because you're going to be pressed in every single way in accordance with the Word of God. Sometimes you have to put on a sacrifice of praise when you don't feel like it. And here's the thing. While I stand in great admiration and appreciation for those that died for our country, that's what Memorial Day is all about, those that laid their lives down for our country, as I think about Afghanistan, I think about Iraq, Korea, Vietnam, World War II, World War I, and all other conflicts prior to that, in great appreciation for those that laid their lives down. And I know, listen, I know the conspiracies behind all the wars. I know them. And by the way, I believe them. However, that does not take away from the heroism of people who died in those wars. It does not. It's just like if you honestly believe what you've been told about 9/11, I've got a bridge right behind here that's in the middle of the woods that I want to sell you for $1 billion. But the heroes of 9/11 are the heroes of 9/11 because a lot of us didn't rush up those towers to save lives. Other people did. So you don't ever become too conspiracy minded that you're not thankful. Amen? You need to be very thankful. The downside of a three-day weekend is everybody has the mindset of a three-day weekend. Some of the most brutal services in the world are the ones that are the most packed out and the ones that are on a holiday, whether it's Easter, although this last Easter was fantastic. He loved it. It really was. It was a great service. And we've had some of our greatest services were Easter Sundays, but sometimes they've been some of our worst too. I mean, literally it's like you walk in some of the worst offerings too. And there's the packed out. You're like, oh boy, it's going to be a good weekend in every way. It didn't happen. Because a lot of times what happens is people either give into their feelings, they have a spirit of religiosity, or they're just caught up in the mindset of it's a weekend. God, listen, boy, it got quiet right there. This must be a lot of people caught up in the mindset that it's a weekend. God does not change like the shifting shadows. He doesn't do that, Malachi. Listen, for I am the Lord, I change not, Malachi 3:6. He doesn't change. He doesn't change like the shifting shadows, James chapter 1, verse 17. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. So worship him as if he doesn't change, even if you may not feel like it. You've got to overcome your feelings or you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere spiritually until you overcome your feelings. You have to overcome your feelings. The real Jesus, not the fake one, not the one that's taught in most churches today. Because in most churches today, there is a spirit of obfuscation. I'm going to preach that which is safe, that which will keep butts in the seats, that which will keep people loving me, that which will keep people from standing up and leaving in the middle of the sermon, which will probably happen today. Now, as you know, I've told you this a dozen times, I've learned to keep my mouth shut because I used to comment as people left. But after you've been burned a couple times, you learn to keep the pie hole shut. So I will not comment on it, but you'll probably see it because there's a lot of people that are very used to a fake Jesus. It's a Jesus in name only. A lot of people use it too, as Paul spoke about this in scripture, where he said, no matter what the motive, I'm glad that Christ is being preached. However, there were people that were profiting off of it. You realize that people will simply take stands to profit in any way, shape, or form. Have you ever noticed that people will vacillate politically? You'll see them on Fox News, and they're a right-winger, and then you see them on CNN, and they're vastly left. I could name the names. But why is it that they do that? Because they're simply profiting off a principleless soul. They have no principles. They have no convictions. They just pick an arena and profit off of it. You see it whether it was COVID or anything else, people will side, they'll become a Trumpster and profit off of it as much as they can possibly profit off of it. And then they say, you know what? There's more profit on the left right now because the left's hot. So they shift over to the left. Well, a lot of times that's what pastors do. They're like, you know what? Which Jesus is popular right now? Soft Jesus or hard Jesus? See, Trump's in office now. So a lot of the people who are preaching soft Jesus are preaching a slightly less soft Jesus. They're still mega soft. Because you either can do it or you can't. You're either going to preach the gospel or you're not. The full gospel. Promises of God mixed with hellfire and brimstone. That's the gospel. The gospel means the almost too good to be truth news, but it's mixed with hellfire and brimstone. It's mixed with the wrath of God and the judgment seat of Christ. It's mixed with turn or burn. It's mixed with you have to turn from your sin or you are not saved. Now, a lot of churches now, they just avoid it. They simply avoid all of that and just assume somehow people are going to discover that which I guess they might have. I'm talking about the people who are teaching them. So just use the pastor for an example. He doesn't teach them what he has, which he turned from his sin, but he never tells anybody else to turn from their sin. And if he does, he waters it down by saying, it's to your benefit to turn from sin. No, you know what? It's life and death, blessing and cursing, heaven and hell, whether you turn from your sin. And I'm talking about any sin. That's the real Jesus. You either do it or you won't. You will either come out and say, you know what, you can lose your salvation or you won't. A lot of, who says that outside of me? Nobody. I'm talking about preachers. I know you do. Nobody. I challenge you, find any message from anybody. I'm talking about there's people that are crackpots right now that have like a church on Twitter, the church of Twitter. And they'll be in some closet somewhere preaching and they'll be using racial slurs and all these different things. And I'm like, and they'll say anything. I'm not talking about those idiots. They're just shifting shadows. They're like, you know what is popular right now to say really incendiary things? So I'm going to say them now. And as soon as it becomes unpopular and he won't get an offering anymore, he'll stop. Not me. I never have changed. I've never changed. People come up to me outside all the time and say, and it's not about me. It's because the gospel never changed. Therefore, I don't change. People come out there all the time and say, just don't ever change because they're so used to people caving. I don't ever going to change. I preach exactly what's in the Bible. And the Bible hurts me as much as it hurts anybody. I have people come up to me all the time. They go outside and they go, oh man, that really got me today. Well, it got me too. It got me too. I have a long way to go. The real Jesus. Here we go. Machine gun style. Same start as every week. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, 14. So who's Jesus? He's the Word. That's it. There is no delineation between Jesus and the Bible. The Bible is Jesus. Jesus is the Bible. That's it. If you add or subtract from it, you're going to remove your name off of the book of life. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. And heap upon yourself curses. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, 14. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then you have the name, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everybody amens that verse, and they should, because he is the name above every name. But here's Psalm 138 too. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Nobody amens that one. It's hard. Amen, the name above every name. It's because it's kind of gotten to be religious folklore. But what trumps the name is the word. Most churches only preach under the name. They don't preach under the word. You're like, Tom, why are you attacking churches? Are you competitive with churches? Absolutely not. It's simply a commentary on that which is true. I challenge you to find anybody preaching like they preached 30 years ago. Why is that? God, I thought he does not change like the shifting shadows, James 1:17. I thought he doesn't change at all, Hebrews 13:8. Same yesterday, today, and forever. For I am the Lord, I change not, Malachi 3:6. I thought he doesn't change. And why do they change? It's like the goobers that say the Constitution is a living and breathing document. No, it's not. It says what it says, and that's it. If you want to change it, you amend it. Now, the Bible's different. You ain't amending squat. You can vote all you want. We do not live in our country. We live under a constitutional republic, not a democracy. But we don't have a constitutional republic in heaven. We live in a very stern monarchy. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords reigns, and our input is not welcome, but our praise and our worship is. I don't go up to God and say, Lord, you know what? Can you please remove temper tantrums being a sin out of Galatians 5:19 through 21? Because man, if you did, I'd be a sterling Christian. Wish you could remove all the verses in the Bible about those who love confrontation and conflict, because once again, I'd be a sterling Christian. Because my carnal nature loves conflict. Amen. See, you know, it's funny that nobody will admit it. I got one, me too. I heard you. Now, what do I do then? I do all that I can, because I know that's my carnal nature, to flee from it. 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Patience and gentleness, not my thing. But I force myself to be gentle. I force myself to be patient. I take captive of every thought, and I make it obedient to Christ. That doesn't sound gospel-like. Yeah, it is. It's 2 Corinthians 10:5. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Matthew 11:12. You take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. You come into Sunday morning, you're like, I don't feel like worshiping today. You take that thought captive, and you make it obedient to Christ. That's real Jesus. The real Jesus, listen, the real Jesus is spiritual warfare. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him and listen to him as a soldier. You look at 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, Ephesians 6:10-18. It's all about spiritual warfare. And Christians think that Jesus is all about peace and love. No. The love part you got. He's not. He said it himself in Matthew 10:34-36. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. Do you know what that means? Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. There you go. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. That, by the way, doesn't license you to be a jerk. Listen, I want to preach some balance in this. I always tell you that doesn't license you to be a jerk. I do. But you're gonna hear some balance in this message today that I have purposely decided to mix in. And you'll hear it. And when it comes, you'll hear it. So today we're focusing on us and Jesus, the combination between you and Jesus. Tom, I'm not, you know, I can't really be one with Jesus. I'm just, you know, a worthless wretch with a horrible background. All of us are worthless wretches with horrible backgrounds. Because you've sinned 5,877 times and I've sinned 5,886 times, I'm slightly better than you? No. So stop thinking like that. You need to partner with Jesus. Be yoked. He commands you. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15, to be yoked with him. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. It's Matthew 11:28-29. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He commands you to be yoked with him. That means everyone, we don't have any, I don't think anybody in here owns any ox. I know people own some donkeys, some cows, some horses, but I don't know anybody that owns any ox. And if they do, they're not yoking them anymore because they're not yoking them together and then driving the ox into town to buy a Slurpee. You take two oxes, and you have these giant pieces of wood with holes cut in them for their head, and it would come down on both of their heads and they're yoked together. One cannot go the other, the opposite direction of the other. That's how you have to be with Jesus. Well, I don't want that, Tom. I'm American, without an A. I'm American, and I'm no slave to anybody. Well, first of all, that's a lie. That means you're a slave to yourself. We went over this last week, Romans 6:21-22. You have become a slave of God if you're saved. How many people in here are saved? Then you're a slave. You have no rights. You have no rights to be sick. You have no rights to be depressed. You have no right to be sad. And let me hear some balance for you. You have no right to think you're going to hell when you're not. I'm always telling people they're going to hell, but I never tell the people that think they're going to hell that aren't, that they aren't. There's the balance. There's a lot more people need to hear they're going to hell because they are in fact going to hell. But there's people that struggle all the time and they think that they're going to hell and they live under a Nazi regime of their own mind. Oh, I'm going to hell if I do this. I'm going to hell if I do that. Unless you make a conscious decision to apostatize and live an unrepentant, long-term sin, not going to hell. You got it? Is that clear? Not because you dropped an F-bomb on the way home. Is that beneficial for you? No. Oh no, now I'm going to hell. No, you're not. If you decide as a Christian, it's right out of Hebrews 6:1-8, that you're going to turn away from God. You're gonna move in with your girlfriend. Now you're going to hell. There you go. Because you had a moment of lust does not mean you're going to hell unless you say, I'm gonna have a moment of lust every day for the rest of my life. Or I'm gonna have a moment of lust every day for the next month. Bye-bye. If you make a decision that you are going to concede to sin, not struggling with sin. Oh, I keep struggling and I fail and I get around. And at the time, what people consider to be sin isn't in fact sin. Because the conflation that's happened from the pulpits. Well, you know, you sin and I sin. We all fail every day. That's not right. I don't fail every day. You don't fail every day. Stop telling yourself that you do. You know, I have depression. And I'm like, wait, you have depression and I commit adultery. See, we all sin. You're gonna be very shocked to find out. On judgment day, the person with depression goes to heaven because that's not a sin. I hear people preach that worry is a sin. That's not correct. That's not a Bible verse. It's dumb to worry. You're told not to worry, but if you worry, you're still going to heaven. Right. You're just a dumb worrier. You're just a dumb human being. You are, you're dumb. You are. Listen, you're looking at the Prince of Dumb. Right here, Prince of Dumb. Not for worry, but I'm just telling you, I've done lots of dumb stuff. And when I'm dumb, I call myself dumb because I am in fact dumb. In that moment, dumb. What's wrong with that? That's what you need. You need to hear it. So make sure that if you're gonna condemn yourself, you need to go to 1 John 3:20. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. That's just your mind. Oh, you blew it. And then it's your mind tells you this. Oh, you blew it in that. So you might as well just concede to sin now. You've already sinned. So just sin some more. Stop listening to a carnal mind controlled by some demonic spirit. You want to know whether it is you're going to hell or not? Come and ask me, I'll tell you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Please understand the Bible. You don't judge when you're doing the same things. That's Romans chapter 2, verse 1. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, yet he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So Jesus has told you to judge with righteous judgment, and then Christians in Jesus' name tell you not to judge. That's John 7:24, by the way. So you're like, I'll judge. Come tell me, what's your life? If you turn from all, it's a simple question. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, Tom, I have. Have you turned from all your sin? Yes, I have. Okay, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. There you go. That's it. If you say to me, well, you know, okay, there it is. We're already gone. The rudder's been turned downward now. Well, you know, there's nothing that I don't answer in the affirmative. If I'm not heaven bound, I will not claim that I am. When I am sinning, I run from God. I don't even act like a Christian. I get the heck out. I just hide. Hide. Don't act like one, nothing. But I will tell you, affirmatively or negatively, whether you're saved or not. It's very simple. It's not hard. There's just a lot of people. Most people think they're saved and they aren't. I don't mean most people in general. I just mean that's the mistake of most people. And then you have the people who are controlled by their carnal mind. That is 1 John 3:20. Their heart is condemning them because heart and mind in scripture are synonymous. So their mind is condemning them. And they say, you know what? I'm going to hell all the time. You're not. I'll tell you, you want to know, come up to me today. I'll make a line. We'll have a line. And I'll come up and I'll give you, I'll say heaven or hell. That's the only word I'll answer. Hell. Next. Heaven. Next. Heaven. Hell, hell, hell. Heaven, heaven, heaven. It's not hard. The person preaching to you today is chief among sinners. But I know I'm going to heaven. I've committed atrocities in the eyes of God. I've been both an incredibly weak Christian and strong one and vacillate back and forth. But I know that I'm not going to hell because I've never turned my back on God in apostasy. And neither have you, unless you have. And that does not mean that you struggle. Man, you know, I blew it today. Somebody asked me if I could go to their kids, or I could go to their, I'll just make up my favorite one. If I could go to their gender reveal party. Just if you're having one, don't invite me. I'm not coming. But anyway, I hate them. I think they're the most ridiculous thing in the world. But anyway, drama, 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 drama. I'm done. I know some of you have them. I love you. Listen, we just don't agree. And I have a louder voice than a microphone, and you don't. I mean, that's right now, so that's the way that it is. But someone asked you to their gender reveal party, and you said you were too busy. Oh, I should have told them the truth. Okay, you blew it. You blew it. Now you have two decisions. You can go up to them and say, confess your sin to them. That's right out of the word, James 5:16. Confess your faults one another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can do that. Most of the time it's not necessary. God's not going to direct you in a more of an innocuous sin. Nothing's an innocuous sin in the eyes of God, but as far as repercussions on the earth, because nobody, the sky's not going to fall because you're not going to the gender reveal party to see the pink or blue smoke. Or powder, or whatever stupid balloons, whatever stupid thing it is. So you can either go up to the person and say, hey, listen, I lied to you. I'm trying to think of how many people I've done it over the years of this church. But I've had to go up to people in this church and tell them I lied to them. What? Yeah, it's true. What do you want me to do? Lie to you about me not lying? I did. I had a woman one time crack me pretty hard the week before from outside the church. So I answered that in the next sermon. And by the way, factually, I was correct. But then she came up to me afterwards, and the church was a lot smaller then. And she says, was that about what you said in this particular part of the sermon? Was that about me? And I lied my beauty ox off. right in the door of the church. Oh, no, no, no. And I mean, it just ravaged me all day. I couldn't enjoy my wings. I couldn't enjoy my pizza. Couldn't enjoy my Slurpees. I still ate them all, but I couldn't enjoy them. So either, I can't remember how we ended up on the phone together with this woman. I can't remember whether I called her or what, but I just flat out told her, I lied to you. And she's like, I just really wanted to apologize. I didn't mean to offend you. I went, what are you talking about? You're not the liar, I am. You gave me your honest opinion of that, which I didn't like, but you didn't lie. I'm the liar. See the difference? In the modern church, they'll consider both to be sin. You criticize and I lie, but we're all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No, one's heaven bound, one's hell bound. But if you lie one time, you're not going to hell. And in that moment, go up to the person for the gender reveal party if you want and say, I lied to you. I just hate gender reveal parties and I never am going to one. That's it. I'm not too busy. You know what I did all day while you had your gender reveal party? Nothing. I had plenty of time to go. I just simply didn't want to go. That's what I tell people. I don't want to lie. People ask me all the time, have you ever heard of this preacher? No. How can you not have heard of him? I don't know. I never heard of him. They look at me like I'm like a lower class Christian because I never heard of Pastor whatever. Probably skinny jeans or skip verses. Or my favorite, Tom, you are just like this guy. And I watch that guy, I'm like, if I'm like that guy, I'm committing suicide today. It's over. I'm Sauling myself. That's a joke, by the way. So everybody knows, don't call Northport PD and have me Baker acted. So back to the message. Together, you and Jesus. I hope that set some of you free right there. I hope it did. To be together with him. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine. He's the root. He is the base of the tree. You are the branches. You and I are the branches. Are the branches part of the vine and the vine the branches? Yes. You're a joint heir. Why are you not rejoicing? Why are you not worshiping this morning? Because you woke up with a case of the rear end? You're a joint heir. You're the branches on the tree of Jesus Christ. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The combination of me, Jesus says, and you brings forth much fruit. Not Jesus alone, not you alone, together brings forth much fruit because you are his body powered by the Holy Ghost. Jesus isn't here. Sits at the right hand of the throne of God as we speak until his second return. What a potent force it is. You and Jesus. How can you ever be bored in your walk with God? Because you don't pray, you don't study, you don't worship, and you miss church all the time. That's why. It's simple. I've never met anybody who needs counseling that's praying. Not once. Ever. Not once. Because God will not, if you're talking to God all the time, he will not let you be frustrated. It can't happen. My wife's never frustrated. My wife never has a sad day. Ever. Do you, Tom? Yeah. When I make it past this 6 months without melting down, I'll tell you. I'm on the clock. I've got months in. I'm trying to remember when the last one was, but yeah. Thank you, Hope. Hope has the time, like to the letter. Because she's the one who gets it. That's it. I'm done. Brent was there, he witnessed one. You do the podcast enough, you're gonna witness one. Brent's there now two times a week, so Brent knows. It's like, uh-oh, we're on the cusp here. Everybody be quiet. But when I do eventually conquer that, I will tell you. Like, you know what? I didn't melt down. You should never melt down. You should never have a bad day. My wife doesn't because she never doesn't pray. Every day, early in the morning, will I rise up to seek thee. She gets up early in the morning to rise up to seek thee. So she doesn't change like the shifting shadows because she's yoked with Jesus, who doesn't change like the shifting shadows. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James chapter 1. Actually, James chapter, is that 4? Draw near to God. Yeah, James chapter 4, verse 8. So she doesn't miss, I do, so I have 6-month meltdowns. I pray a lot. I pray more than probably most Christians, but not as consistent as she does in her study of the word, not as consistent as she does. And she doesn't change. As a matter of fact, all the rest of us in their house are not as stable as she is. I wonder why that is. It's not complicated. It's like I told you, whether you're going to heaven or hell, it's not complicated. Either you put your sins under the blood of Jesus in repentance or you have not. And if you have done that, the only way to lose that is to make a decision to lose it through apostasy. Continual long-term backslide. That's it. Life is easy. It is. Aren't you glad you're here? This is the greatest church in the world. I don't know why. I can't believe we don't have every single seat full. I mean, it's a big crowd here for a Memorial Day weekend. I'm thrilled. I mean, we didn't take, this is the weird. It's also, not only is this the most dangerous church, we are also the weirdest church in the world. We're late arriving, including me. I've walked in before, it's like 10:08, people are walking in, so I start yelling at them for being late. Well, you guys are all late. And everybody laughs, we all laugh, because we're all late. And like normally when you have like spring forward, that's the death knell for all churches, the spring forward day. Fall back's always good because fall back means if you show up here, you show up, if you haven't set your clock back, you show up an hour early. If you don't spring it forward, you show up an hour late. Well, we're weird, we're packed on spring forward day. Packed every time. We are the weirdest church in the world, but also the most dangerous. That's great. I love it. It's entertaining. It's fun. So us together, you and Jesus and you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What a potent force. Look at this. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, machine gun style scripture. Here we go. Listen to this combination between the believer and Jesus. These who have turned the world upside down. Acts 2:41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Why doesn't that happen today? Because we have too many other things to do. They didn't then. And it was entertaining to win souls. Today it's entertaining to be anesthetized by your device. Really, euthanized by your device. That's just a joke. So instead of us being enraptured with winning souls, we're enraptured with being entertained. They didn't have that back then, so there's nothing else to do but enjoy the presence of God, which, by the way, will make you a whole lot happier than watching the next docuseries on Netflix. Even though one of them is very stimulating in the moment, like cocaine, but long-term, there's lots of damage and a lot of non-growth, or you take the lesser carnal high for the greater high of operating in the Spirit of God. But one door is easier to enter than the other. So here's the path. Matthew 3, 11 through 12. Ever heard so much scripture in all your life? That's what you're supposed to preach in church. I'll give you my life stories. Right now I'm fasting dog stories. Thank you, Heather. She got that first. But I'll give you life stories. I always have dog stories, but I'm not going to do that to you because I went on a 6-month tear about every Sunday telling you a dog story. So we're taking 6 months off. So how do you become this combo with Jesus that is this unbelievable force? How do you do it? I always want to give you the path, Because a lot of times what's preached in scripture is your ship, what's preached in churches is your ship is coming in. This is going to be the greatest week of your life, the greatest year of your life, the greatest moment of your life. And God wants you to have this and God wants you to have that. All of which can be and is true, but nobody's told how to do it. Does God want you to be wealthy? Yes or no? All right. How do you get there though? Does God want you to be well? Yes or no? Full of wisdom? Yes or no? Does he want you to win every time? Yes or no? All right, now how do you get there though? I mean, honest with you, nobody ever tells you. Everyone just jumps up and down and says, hallelujah, goes home and lives in defeat, comes back to the next service. They tell them that, thanks be to God who's always caused us to triumph, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Everyone jumps up and down again, goes home and lives in defeat. It's Groundhog Day. Everybody's Bill Murray. It's Groundhog Day. And nobody even asks, how do I get there? See, I'm not like that. I'm inquisitive. I want to know why. That's why it's pretty tough to get me to wear a mask, because I want to know why. Oh, really? Does that really block a virus from getting in? No. Then why wear it? It's a sign of compliance and cooperation, together alone, alone together. No, thank you. Cram it. I'll be nice. Kind of made a pledge to my wife to stop saying cram things. So watch for the podcast. We do a lot of cramming there. Less cramming here. I gotta stop laughing in my head. Once I get tickled, I can't stop laughing. That's the problem with me. I'm a horrible. That's why I'd be terrible at practical jokes or making phone calls where you have to hold it together to prank. So I can't do it. I start laughing. So how do you get there? How do you get to this combination? I'm gonna tell you. Here it is, right now. Matthew 3:11-12. This is John the Baptist speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's your answer right there. Those 11 words. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's your answer. A lot of Christians, I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they're as sedate and boring as an insurance convention. Yeah, because they never stoked the fire. There's no prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship, fasting, nothing. They don't even pray for opportunities to share their faith. Then why even be saved? Verse 12, I have to always mix this one in. Just to add context to it. Because again, this is the real Jesus. John the Baptist, the greatest of all prophets. Who said that? Jesus. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The real Jesus baptized the Holy Ghost. You don't get saved, chaff, fire. That's the Bible. And that's how people will be judged, even if they don't believe it. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your experiences are. It doesn't matter what you deny or what you accept. You're going to be judged by this. That's it. And a lot of you, that's why you know you can't go to any other church, even though you're uncomfortable here. You can't go anywhere else because you know that what you're hearing here is true. You're going to go there and be sedated. And I'm talking about every church in this area, every one of them. Are there any exceptions? Not that I'm aware of. How dare you say that? That's why I don't join these pastor clubs. Imagine me going into these pastor clubs. You're like, Tom, is there really such a thing as a pastor club? No, this is what I call it. I don't know what it is. We want to come together as a community of churches. No, you know what? I'm not going to say cram, but I'm just, no. I'm not gonna be yoked together with you. You're basically unbelievers. You couldn't have bent over any faster. I'm not supposed to say that either. You couldn't have bent, it's too late now. You couldn't have bent over any faster in March of 2020 than you did. Nobody even had to force you over. I'll stop. I'm not going to go and have a lunch with you. No, thank you. You obfuscate the word. You skip verses. That's probably your name. You filter the word. You censor the word. I'm not going to have lunch with you. We're not going to have. We're not come together as a community of churches that are going to feed the poor. No, thank you. I'll feed them on my own. Amen. Don't need you. Don't need you, you bunch of COVID caving cowards. I have no interest in you. None. None. Now, if they simply would have come out and said, you know what? We never should have closed and pimped and hoarded vaccines from our pulpits. No problem. Because I've been a pimp and a whore myself. I've been a coward myself. Only difference between me and you is that I've admitted it and I've repented of it and you never have. And you just pretend like all is well. And now you're Mr. Trump. Now you're a patriot pastor. Those are all experiences that I've seen. Saw a guy who's such a pansy boy. And he spoke in the most annoying voice ever. Yes, yes, Christians. He was just hating on Rodney Howard Brown, just hating on him for keeping his church open, getting arrested. Yes, Christians, there will come a time for us, this is how he talks to, a little, I'm adding a little to it. A little. 30% max, I'm adding to it. There will come a time for us to fight, but now it's not that time. Now is the time to trust the experts that are trying to keep us safe, and we all need to come together as the community, as the church, and as a community of science. We all need to come together and beat this dreaded illness that you have no chance of dying of ever. I'm not having lunch with that guy. It takes all that I have not to punch him in the face, let alone have lunch with them. And listen to how the church is supposed to be. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's how you become a partner. That's what happened with the church. They weren't partnering with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost told me, do not comply. And he doesn't change. He told everybody that. And what they did was consider the cost. That's what they did. Well, if I comply, I'm gonna get PPP money. I can stay at home, get millions of dollars, never have to pay it back. Nobody's gonna leave the church. 40% of this church left when I didn't close. Yeah, they did. Because I lack compassion. Can you imagine anybody thinking that about me? Lack compassion? Can't imagine that thought. Aaron, you didn't send me the number. All you sent was all. Okay. Okay. Send me a number. Aaron, wherever you are, send me a number. You're fired, Aaron. You're fired. For the next 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're back. Love you. 1,300 people are watching live with us right now. Love all of you that are watching online. Thank you so much. I really do. And don't ever, since I'm on the COVID tear, don't ever go back to a COVID caving church unless they have publicly repented. Don't go back. Stay with us online and receive the word, because most of those people are going to end up with a quantum dot tattoo on their forehead or on their right hand so they can buy, sell, trade, or travel, just like a COVID vaccine passport. Boy, I can launch into that, because next week, well, I don't know if I'll get to it next week, but this is the real Jesus for a couple weeks. And wait till we get to the beginnings of sorrows, the rapture, it's all in order. The rapture, the second coming, the judgment, the new heaven and new earth, all Jesus. Be ready, it's all coming. If you got soft skin, toughen up. Put some, whatever it is, you toughen up skin. I guess nobody wants to toughen up their skin, right? You're supposed to like soften up your skin? I don't know, rub some dirt on it, some rocks, and toughen that thing up, and be ready to go. Bathe in rocks. You're gonna need it. So we need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, or we're not gonna be partners with Jesus. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Stop being afraid of the Holy Ghost because you're Baptist. Don't shout amen. How many Baptist people in here? Don't stop being afraid of them. Well, I've seen excesses. Everybody has. It doesn't have anything to do with the Holy Ghost. Excess is not the Holy Ghost. If it's a person being excessive, then don't worry about it. People get all worried. Tom praying for people and they fell out. Why do you even care? And people come up to me. It's like one of the most controversial thing after all the things that I say about people getting bent over and whatever else. The most controversial thing I can do is lay hands on somebody and they fall to the ground and people are all upset about it. Why are you even worried about it? And there are examples of that in scripture. Had somebody recently address the church saying that that's not in scripture except for where it is in scripture. That's what he said. It's nowhere in scripture except that he named where it is in scripture. Or God or an angel knocked people to the ground. That can't happen today. I thought he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thought you believed that. And by the way, I've experienced it. I know it's real because I certainly couldn't stand. Yeah, listen, happened to me, was it? I don't think it was Thursday morning, because I'm doing the podcast 5 nights a week. So I go to the morning services at the, I don't know, is this the minister's conference or kingdom business? I don't know, minister's conference up at the river. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown is proudly my pastor. And proudly, love that man. Favorite pastor of all time, favorite preacher of all time, and he is my pastor. But anyway, he just came by it, and we're all standing there. You know, it's like the music's kind of on and off or whatever, and he just does whatever he wants to do. Pastor Rodney, I'm talking about, there is no set order of anything ever. Either service can last 3.5 hours or 8.5 hours. You have no idea. But anyway, short end, 3.5. But he just starts walking down the front aisle and starts shoulder shivering everybody, like literally hitting him in their chest with his shoulder. Not the women, just the men. So he goes down the aisle, and the women he just touched. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, my shoulder shiver's coming. And I'm like, I knew the Holy Ghost was going to zap me. Since people are doing, I mean, literally, they're just flying through the air. So he hits me right here. And literally, I was sitting in the middle chair on the front row, which has a table in between the two front chairs. So my left butt cheek hits off the table, and I go flying back, and people are trying to, like, save me, you know? You want to tell me that isn't real? Go right ahead. I can tell you that I got hit by the power of God. And I'm fine with it. See, everybody's scared now. That's why you don't get healed. You don't believe in the power of God. That's why you don't get happy. You don't believe in the deliverance and the power of God. You're too worried about what's the religious aspects of Rodney Howard Brown hitting you with his shoulder and you fall back under the power of God. Well, what are the religious aspects of Jesus walking up to a person, spitting on the ground, making a mud pie out of his saliva and applying it to the eyes? See, most people, they would reject Jesus from being their pastor because he's too weird. It's a fact. Jesus preached, you have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. John chapter 6, 53 through 67, and many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why? Because it's hard teaching. Why don't you just say, you know what, Holy Spirit, whatever you want, I want. As long as it doesn't violate the word, I am all in. That's how I am. I see stuff and I'm like, that's carnal. I just blow it off. Okay, it's carnal. You know, it's carnal. Person's being carnal. You got to be partners with the Holy Ghost. And listen, by our standards, he is out there. By our standards, the Holy Ghost is weird. But we're weird. He's actually right by our standards. Our thoughts, his thoughts, his ways are above ours. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. So by our standards, he's weird. But as Andrew Womack says, I'm not weird, you're weird. So we just need to yield them. If you don't, you're not going to be partners with Jesus. Because Jesus is gone. He sent his spirit here to baptize you. He shall. Who did John the Baptist baptize with water unto repentance? Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and entire denominations that call themselves followers of Jesus reject his baptism. The baptism of Jesus, I reject it as a Christian. The baptism of Jesus is not Christ-like. That's it. He baptized with the Holy Ghost. And as a Christian, I'm going to reject it because it's not Christ-like. Because it's too weird for me. I don't want to speak in tongues. It's not up to you. I thought you were a slave. It's not up to you. That's over now. Amen. Either you are or you are not. You are either in or you are out. Now, how do you do this? Luke 11, 13, here's the path. Can't believe it's already 11:57. Anybody bored yet? You can say you are. It's okay. You can shout it. Say, yes, I'm bored. Good. It's okay. It's okay. I won't know who you are. Close my eyes. Good. Ready? Go. Okay. All right. You guys love me too much. I love you back. Ah, sweet whiskey. Mm-hmm. I had to break that out again. It's been a month or two. It's Gatorade. It's thirsty for that deep down body thirst. It's all that it is. Luke 11, 13. How do you get the Holy Ghost? Look at me now. Everyone look me in the eye. Come on. I'm going to look across the whole thing here. Look me in the eye. Look at me. Look at me now. Do you want him? Yes. On his terms, not yours. Yes. Do you? Yes. Skyler, do you want him? Okay. Do you? On his terms, not yours. What if he violates all of your past theology? What if he humiliates you and he puts you on the ground? That's what you need. He may make you dance before the Lord with all of your might. Like just like the man after God's own heart. His wife was humiliated by him. So how do you get him? And for those of you that have already been filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't need to be refilled. You just need to walk in it. You need a time of refreshing. So that's how you will apply this to you. Luke 11, 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you don't ask, you don't have. I don't care what Pastor Goodbody tells you. It doesn't matter what he tells you. Well, once you're, when you got saved, you received the Holy Ghost. Is that what the Bible says? No, so he's preaching the name of Jesus, not Jesus. He's preaching his version of Jesus that he's put the name on instead of Jesus himself. Because Jesus just said that you have to ask. Prove this more, Tom. No problem. No problem at all. Acts 8, 14 through 17. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Heard that Samaria had received the word of God. The word of God is who? Jesus. Say it louder. Jesus. So they had received Jesus. Everybody agree? But they then, after they received Jesus, they sent Peter and John, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. I thought they were already saved. So imagine all of these denominations denying the word of God, contradicting the word of God in the name of Jesus, telling people they're filled with the Holy Ghost upon salvation when they're not. That's why you have the parable of the sower, where 3 out of 4 turn out bad. That's why you have Revelation 2 and 3 when 5 out of the 7 churches turn out bad because of false prophets and false prophecies and false doctrine made up between the ears of men. Listen to what the word says. You have to ask, yet ye have not because ye ask not. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. But then I thought they'd been saved. And imagine preaching in direct contradiction to this and going home and sleeping like a baby at night. I'd be scared of God. And plus, the only reason why they're preaching it and you're obfuscating the word is because you're scared. You're scared. That's why the cowardly, Revelation 21:8, will not inherit the kingdom of God. The reason why you donned masks, not because you were afraid of a virus, you were afraid of the social implications of not donning them. Be like me and enjoy the social implications. I like being hated. I love being the bad guy. I love walking into Home Depot and I'm the only one in there, not masked, and everyone's staring at me. And yes, at that moment, I missed the bird. I did. I missed the bird. I can't throw the bird anymore. Because I would have loved to just walk through that on my shirt, unmasked. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So that part of me has been crucified. I don't cuss anymore. I do struggle with cramming stuff, but I don't cuss. For as yet, Acts 8:16, for as yet he had fallen on none of them. None of the saved had the Holy Ghost. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Who wants them? Who wants them and doesn't have them? You have to first admit you don't have them. Amen, brother. You're awesome. We're praying before we go. You'll get it. You want the Holy Ghost? You got it. You're like, people struggle like I haven't spoken tongues yet. Just stop struggling and it will come. How do I operate a man like Rodney Howard Brown? How do I operate that? He'll tell you to your face, get out of your head. Get out of your head. Acts 19:1-6. Do you have to ask or do you not? Yes. All right, let's prove it again. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Finding some who? Disciples saved and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were saved? So when you got saved, did anybody pray for you to receive the Holy Ghost? Did you ask? What was their response? So they said to him, we have not so much have even heard of the Holy Ghost. We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Ghost, is the quote. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who had come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, right? And, big three-letter freaking word, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. 11 minutes to go, everybody good? And it's a variability though. But just remember, last week I told you 2:15, we were done at 2:17. Just remember that. It'll be close. So you can see that you have to ask him. How many churches preach that? You're going to offend people if you do. Well, be offended. I love you. Your only hope is for me to offend you. Somebody's got to jerk you out of it. I'm the jerk. Have enough, just like this man did just a minute ago. Have enough pride to say, I need the Holy Ghost. I've either never asked or I'm trying or whatever, wherever you are. But you need the Holy Ghost. You're not partnering with Jesus. Are you saying, Tom, if I don't speak in tongues, I'm not going to heaven? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying your odds are getting there are not good. Because you're missing a giant component of that which will enable you to endure until the end. You're going to try to do it in your own strength. You want the Holy Ghost. I'll take the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Remember the Holy Ghost with Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5:1. I'll take that guy. Amen. See, we need to be walking in the rooms. I'm not talking about people dropping dead, but people need to be scared to death when we walk in the room. Church should be trouble for people. Which I need to close with that. I need to close with that part. Let me see where I'm at here. Oh yeah, that'll work. Let's close with that. I've got 8 sermons in this book alone. My wife says, yeah, I don't, Aaron will flat out tell you, you don't even need anything. Well, you're pretty much correct. I can talk for 3 hours without any notes. But let me tell you this before we go. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The modern church tells you that it is an attribute of Christ to cooperate, to capitulate, to accommodate, and to lie to people. It does. Also, they're not offended. They tell you that it's an attribute to, if you are in a situation like with a family member and they are preaching false doctrine, to just say nothing so that everybody gets along, because getting along is Christ-like. It's not true. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, the word of God, which you are to preach instantly, in season and out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. Matthew 10, 34 through 36. Those are the verses that I just said. It is not an attribute to obfuscate truth to keep the peace. Whether it's COVID or anything else, you don't ever need to bow and say CO2 is a problem. CO2 is a blessing. It certainly is not a problem. You don't need to bow because of societal pressures, but the modern church will tell you to bow because then you keep the peace, and that's being Christ-like. Obey the experts. Go with the flow so there's no disruptions. That's what it means to be a Christian. Not to offend anybody. That's what it means to be in a Christian. You know, the disciples had to come up to Jesus and say to him, "Do you know that you offended the Pharisees?" Jesus really cared about that, didn't he? Then how is it Christ-like to never offend? How is it Christ-like to Potomac two-step around everybody's feelings so nobody's offended? How is it Christ-like to see blatant sin and compromise in somebody's life and not tell them so that they still like you? Thought you weren't supposed to be a man pleaser, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. That if you were still a man pleaser, you're not a bondservant of Christ. Am I telling you to be a jerk? No. You can tell people the truth in love. That's what you're supposed to do. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit is from God. So this is us and Jesus versus the world. Ephesians 2:2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. It's us versus the spirit of the world. Not the children of disobedience. We're not us against people. It's us against the sin in their life, though, the compromise and the lies in their life, and they need to be told. A lot of times, like, it's not us against people. So that gives everybody license to not tell people they're living a lie. It gives the cowardly Christian license to never disrupt the flow, never cause a disruption of peace. When Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace," why is peace such an attribute when he didn't come to bring it? That's how they usher in everything in the end times is coming and preaching peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Read it for yourself when you get home. It is never really Christ-like to just accommodate people. You preach the word. If that happens to accommodate them, that's why I put that caveat in there. Because I can accommodate most people in this room because you want the word. So you're accommodated. That's what's happened with a lot of these churches. They come in and people come in and they're like, you know, we are just loved in the gay community. Okay, it's great that you're loved in the gay community. But the reason why you're loved in the gay community is because you lie to them. I watched a documentary recently about a fall of a church, and there was a gay man that was attending the church, and he was a leader in the church. It's an evangelical church, Assembly of God church. He was a leader in the church. He was like worship team, and he went and told the pastor, "You know that I am openly gay and I'm dating this man." And they were all on social media in the Bahamas together, he and his boyfriend. They were in the front, second row of the church, worshiping together at an evangelical church. And what they will say is, "Look at us love." That's right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. "Look at us love, look at our grace. How are you loving or graceful when you're ushering them straight to hell because they've never repented of their homosexuality? Amen. Same thing if a man and woman were living together outside of marriage, you should tell them. Well, the fornicators feel very, very welcome in our church. You should feel welcome, but you shouldn't feel comfortable. Now, you're sinning in here. You know you're not comfortable right now. It's probably taking you all that you have not to walk out of here. But I'm telling you the truth. You need me to tell you the truth. Not another pastor accommodating your sin in the name of Jesus and calling it Christ-like to not confront you with the truth, because confronting you with the truth will hurt your feelings, and never, never is it Christ-like to hurt anybody's feelings. How do you end up on a cross then? I think there's a lot of butthurt people. Or he doesn't end up on a cross between two thieves. Would everybody agree? The world should know that the church is trouble. See how quiet it is? What's everybody been taught? The world should know that the church will cooperate and be a community partner and good neighbor. They all knew I wasn't. Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, I told you the story before, it's not long. I was having a trespass order served on a lunatic who's now going church to church in this area, by the way. Same guy. And I go up to him, I say, hey guys, nice to meet you. I'm Tom Leibler, we know who you are. That was during the COVID time because we were open and everybody else was closed. And we were the disruptors. So my disruption wasn't Christ-like, or was it? It was Christ-like, just like Jesus was a disruption, was he not? Amen. So as you're taught in the modern churches, all disruption, all non-accommodation, all non-cooperation. So if I don't cooperate with the Antichrist spirit, I'm not Christ-like? If I don't cooperate with the CDC, the NIH, the NIAID, or the WHO, I'm not Christ-like? According to modern church, that's the case. You have to cooperate. So you got to cooperate yourself to having a mark on your right hand or on your forehead, all in the name of Jesus. That's why the word trumps the name, because the name can be applied to anything. The world should know, it's 12:14, that the church is trouble, not compliant, not cooperative, not partnering with the prince of the power of the air. I'll close with a couple examples here. Where on earth do you get that from? Where do you get that from, Tom? Right here, 1 Kings 18, 17 and 18. Yeah, see if you guys get those verses. Come on. I don't know if I sent, I may not have sent any of these. I can't remember. But if you can, put them up. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O trouble of Israel? Who is Ahab? The experts and the leader. And the man of God troubled him, didn't cooperate with him, didn't accommodate his lies, didn't tell him that his lies were true, didn't avoid the subject. That's the biggest thing. We're all just going to avoid the subject. Look at me now. It's 12:15. I avoid no subjects. None. You want to know my opinion? I'll tell you my opinion. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. But I don't avoid anything. And Elijah answered, I am not troubled, Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Here's Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you. You're gonna be persecuted when you just go with the flow? When you go as commanded? When you follow orders? No. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You're gonna have to embrace this. Because just because Trump's in office, he's being sued 250 times as we speak by the globalists. You had better embrace the fact that you are gonna have to stand up against demonic, antichrist, globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitists. You better do it. And that is not politics. Because if not, that going with the flow and cooperation, you end up with a mark on your forehead. And they're all going to go to church the next day after they get their marks. And they'll all grab them. Almost every Christian in this nation, quote unquote Christian, is going to knock old ladies out of the way to get their mark because they closed Walmart. And you can't get in there without the mark. And Christians will knock little old ladies out of the way to get them because they have that spirit of cooperation. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's Christ-like to obey the devil. Because I wouldn't want to offend the devil. Niceness becomes your religion. The word should be your religion. Blessed are you when people insult you. Worship team, make your way. There you go. Everybody relax now. Worship team is on the way. And I'll set you free for the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Now concentrate on me for just a second here, even though we got the thundering herd coming to the stage. Thundering herd of very light women. Light, very light, perfectly made women. So I never want to call women a herd. So I take that back. But anyway. So how many of you have ever been taught this verse? Blessed are you when people insult you. If you're insulted, that means you're not being Christ-like. How many of you have been taught that? If you go to Thanksgiving dinner, an Aunt COVID-caving monster, mask-wearing, 10 times injected Aunt Susie is there. And you just have to keep your mouth shut and put your mask on so everybody gets along. Or I'll just use another example. You go in and then there's, Uncle Bruce and his partner Stan and their two cats. And they, listen, fine, be gay all you want. Here's the thing. If they don't say anything, I'm not gonna say anything. They start a diatribe with the rainbow flags at the dinner table. Here it comes, baby. I'm not gonna just sit there. I'll get my Gadsden flag out and start waving it. And they're gonna be mad, but what it says here is, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Nobody's ever lied about me because I always make sure that I'm affirming. What do you affirm though? Do you affirm people in their sin in the name of Jesus? Do you affirm people in their doctrinal error in the name of Jesus? All so you don't offend them and you call that Christ-like? It is not. It certainly wasn't Christ-like. Then how is it Christ-like? Quiet in here. Again, I'm not like, listen, how many jerks are in here? Okay. I'm not licensing you to be a jerk, a condescending prig with a G, not CK. I am not licensing you to do that. I don't do that. A lot of people think I am because of my preaching style. Ask my friends. I don't do that. I don't go around my neighborhood going, I see lots of my neighbors. I see more of my neighbors than Hope or Travis or anybody else because I walk endlessly and I talk to everybody. They all know my dog's name. They have dog treats for the dog, all of that. I know everybody. Most of them know what I do, but I don't go up to them every day. Hey, it's your daily appointment. Just to remind you, because I know I saw you on Tuesday and now it's Wednesday, you're still going to hell. I don't do that. Closing with this. Who are you going to follow? You going to follow the world or the money-grubbing experts in the name of Jesus? For it is written, 1 Corinthians 1:19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing, nothing, the understanding of the prudent. All the experts. Closing with this verse, 1 Samuel 16:4. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town rolled out the red carpet and they welcomed him because he was a prophet. And if you're not welcomed as a prophet, that must mean you're not Christ-like. I think we can all say that Samuel was Christ-like. Would everybody agree? And the elders, so Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. That's how we should be for us. But we think it's Christ-like that everybody, when we walk in a room, they know that we're gonna cooperate. That's what it means to be a Christian, is you just don't say anything. You just make sure you don't ruffle any feathers. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and they said to him, "Do you come peaceably?" They had to ask. I will tell you this. I have lots of faults and failings, but people do ask that question when I walk in a room. Is that guy gonna come peaceably? I can answer that question. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Praise you, Lord. And be ready now. Those of you who need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm gonna call you up here. I'm gonna lay hands on you, and you're gonna speak in tongues today and prophesy. Be ready. Now, I'm not looking for people who are already filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not refill. You start speaking in tongues right now and be refilled. Right now, start speaking in tongues for these people that need to be saved. If you need to be saved today, if you've never been saved or you've fallen out of your salvation through long, continuous sin, backslide, this is your time. You already know that it's you. If you need to get right with God today, whether you've never been saved or you need to recommit your life, now is your time. You're not joining this church, although you need to. You're joining the family of God. You're joining the kingdom of God. You're becoming yoked together with Jesus Christ through faith in repentance of sin. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to get your life right with God today, now is your moment. Right where you sit. Listen, understand, I'm not going to bring you forward. I'm not going to take you to a back room. I'm not going to humiliate you. It's between me, you, and God, and you are never going to leave your seat. Nobody's going to know but me and you, me, you, and God. That's it. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you and you're ready to get your life right with God, right where you sit, stretch your hand into the air right where you are. Come on, get him up there. Got you. Got you. Leave him up. Leave him boldly up in the air. Come on, there you go. I got you. Got you. All over this room. You can put him down. You're already done. Those of you that lifted up your hands, the entire church is going to pray this with you. You pray it. You mean it, and you are saved. Everybody together, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins, and I now turn from them. And I give you my life from this day on, in Jesus' name.
Foundation Church has a mission to preach the word, win the lost, and disciple believers. You can expect Holy Spirit-led worship and a message that will leave you equipped and empowered. Become a part of what we're doing by investing today as we continue to fight for the truth, be the restraining, and bring hope for the hopeless.